Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and we're going to be talking about recycling here on this episode. Recycling, curbside recycling, has now been in Houghton for a couple of weeks. Of course, it's been in Hancock for a number of years, but with waste management sort of taking that over, I would have thought it would be a good time to talk about why to recycle, what to recycle, how to recycle, and to do that, I brought in a couple of recycling experts. From the Copper Country Recycling Initiative, in studio right now is David Hall and Suzanne Van Dam. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Rick.
So, a couple of weeks in, let's just kind of start with there. What is your impression on how it's working so far?
Well, David can probably speak to that. I'm actually a resident of Hancock, and David lives in Houghton. We're both thrilled that both cities agreed to the same contract and to do weekly curbside pickup, which is a vast improvement and will definitely increase recycling rates. So far, I think we're seeing a good start, a good launch. We want to see it grow and become more robust, but I think it's a good start.
Yeah, I agree. We're just walking to the studio today is trash day, which is also recycling day. And I could see about half of the houses, a third to a half of the houses, did have recycling out in front of their houses. And this is a really positive beginning to this program. But it stuck in my head how many houses I need to go touch to have them begin to participate, because we need a positive and successful program in order for this to continue on for years to come.
Well, we're going to be talking about how we got to this point and what we're, you know, what we'd like to see moving forward. So let's go ahead and back up a little bit. For me, the saga began probably around a year ago when there was, before it was free for people to drop off recyclables at the waste management site here in Houghton, and then they started having to charge, and they have to. They're trying to run a business. They have to, cover their costs. So they charge $4 per carload. Mm-hmm. That then kicked off a number of people showing up at the Houghton City Council meetings asking for a resolution, some sort of answer to that problem from the city. Over in Hancock side, where Suzanne Van Dam, you're a resident of, of course, they had been doing curbside recycling for some time. Mm-hmm. So let's kind of start with, backing up, just maybe a year ago. What were the hopes of what we can get started, and how did that go about?
Well, actually, we probably need to back up about a year and a half ago, March, because it started with Waste Management instituting the fee, but there was also at the same time a call for proposals from the Department of Environmental Quality. The DEQ had pollution prevention grants available to counties throughout the state, because Michigan has one of the lowest recycling rates in the whole Great Lakes area. And so the governor has an initiative to increase recycling statewide. So we started with a program at the county level to get a cardboard program going. And we decided to start with that because it's sort of the low-hanging fruit. If you are tuned into recycling right now, the profit margin is, slim, to say the least, except for cardboard. And in the industry, they call it OCC. It's just old corrugated cardboard is all that stands for. But cardboard, actually, you can make not a huge profit, but you're not losing money. You make a little bit of money. So you'll notice, for example, Walmart and all the grocery stores compact their cardboard and somebody trucks it off because they can make a little bit of money on it and because it is also the right thing to do. But so we thought, at the county level, we'll start with that. We'll start with something we know could be successful. And it's also easy because it doesn't require a lot of thought about cardboard. It's pretty clear what it is. And as long as it's clean, and by the way, they also take what we think of as a cardboard box, a typical corrugated box, but they also take the pressed board, like for cereal boxes or shoe boxes. So we started with that. We got the second largest grant in the whole, state. I think second only to Detroit. And so $93,000 is not bad for a rural county. And with that funding, we got a building built at the transfer stations only just to do recycling, and then a satellite baler at Chassel. So that's what really launched this. But our goal right in the grant, as we said to the DEQ, was to go, wait, we're going to start with cardboard because that's a place we could start with, but then move to a zero-waste society, which is a very lofty goal, I know. Even California, San Francisco isn't there yet, but they're making amazing progress, and there's no reason we can't as well. Although we do have a lot of challenges. Rural areas have a lot of challenges for recycling. The citizen interest in it has been pretty astounding. As soon as we started having meetings with the city councils and opening it up to public interest, the rooms have been packed. People, one person after another, got up and testified, we want this, we want it curbside, we want it to be part of our community, it's the right thing to do. And I think people who are interested in it also understand that recycling isn't free. Anytime you are handling a material and trucking it somewhere and moving it, it's not free. And the markets for recyclables go up and down. And right now, with the Chinese economy down, the market for taking in things like plastics is down. But we know that will go up, you know, in the future. So it's an investment. That said, it is always cheaper than landfilling. It's just when you're going to pay the cost for it. Landfill catches up with you, and David knows a lot more about landfills and costs. But the hidden costs of just trashing things that could be recycled are enormous, and they're destructive to the environment and costly to towns that will eventually have to take on the cost of reclaiming the land and dealing with the polluted water and the leakage and all the waste, because that material should be and can be reclaimed and repurposed and mined, is the word in the business. Just like our copper miners up here, we mine the garbage.
When this became when Houghton and Hancock both adopted this, mm-hmm. And we were posting up the news, kind of the odd response that we received was, well, it's about time, mm-hmm. We kind of made everybody go woohoo, and a lot is positive, which there has been mm-hmm. positive response, but the initial reaction was, what took so long? Can't believe it took until now, and so there mm-hmm. people are happy to see it, but it had been a long time coming.
Mm-hmm. Yes, one of the critical things that happened was that there was a large manufacturing facility built in northern Wisconsin by Eagle Waste and Recycling. And this is the end where all of our recyclables from this area arrive mm-hmm. to that facility. So when that was built, it made recycling much more feasible up here in an mm-hmm. isolated place. Secondly, I think a lot of people have moved here, including myself. I only arrived a couple of years ago. I always had recycling in my life, and it was a simple thing to do. And coming here, it was very difficult, and it's one of those things that was hard for me, and that's why I got involved. What's going on here? And a lot of the old mindset was, well, we're just too distant, and this can't be done. And we started doing research into this and discovered, well, lo and behold, we're closer to a lot of the markets than other places in the West. In the West, they send a lot of their paper products to Wisconsin. So it's we're much closer to those places. And as Suzanne said, the commodities market has been really hammered with low oil prices. They kind of fluctuate directly with oil prices, and so it makes it so that we have to pay to recycle, but it's always cheaper to dump recycling than to dump trash in the landfill.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have to go to places like California and New York to find mandatory recycling.
No.
My folks live downstate here in Michigan, and mm-hmm. in their communities, it's the law. You mm-hmm. have to recycle. And, mm-hmm. and you know, everything. It's actually a lot stricter than what residents here are looking at right now, where certain things have to be separated. They have to have different bins. Mm-hmm. And then they're not always even picked up on the same day as the trash. So, there's, if you're worried about the inconvenience, quote unquote, of recycling, actually we have a part of be pretty much better here than some others do when it comes to mandatory recycling.
Well, if we just look at a community just a little west of here, Marquette, they do a pretty amazing job. They're also a very rural community. It's not mandatory, but there's a cost incentive to recycle versus put trash. So the city and the county, it's actually at a county level, they've set it up so that people have an incentive to recycle. And if they trash their recycling by putting the wrong things in it, then that's not picked up. And so that's a way to encourage people to do the right thing, or to just to inform themselves. I don't think people are out there trying to mess it up, but they need to understand how to recycle.
So here we are. We're now about 2 weeks in. The initial reports I've heard was the very first week or first time that they went out to pick up the recyclables in Houghton. Hancock is starting up, I believe, in September.
September 12th,
okay. Mm-hmm. That there were people who had a ton of stuff.
Yeah, almost they've like, been I mean, storing you know, it up.
Right. But they didn't have that many residents who participated. It's just those that put out a whole lot. But then in the subsequent pickups, they've had more residents participate. Of course, the loads have gotten a lot smaller. Mm-hmm. So they are seeing an increase, at least over the first few pickups, more people participating.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we thought would happen, because the diehard people like me, you know, I probably shouldn't admit this on the radio, but I even bring my glass down to my daughter downstate because that's sort of what makes me tick, I guess. You know, we're really committed to it. So those folks have been storing it up for a long time. They're putting it out on the curb. But then people, I mean, that's partly what makes a community work, right, is we're all working together, and you look out and you look down the road and you go, oh, it must be recycling day. So, oh, I guess it started. I can do this too. So we hope that it's contagious in that way. And also it's kind of up to everybody to encourage their neighbors to say, hey, did you know we can recycle? And did you know recycling is free? Because it's not exactly free from a mega perspective, but you don't pay to put your recycling out. You pay for your trash.
Yeah, the city's, I don't know what the deal is for Hancock, but the city of Houghton pays less money per ton to deal with its recyclables than trash. So
significantly.
If we have a lot of people participate in the recycling program, it has the potential to reduce our overall trash fees.
The
city, they're what they pay monthly to waste management, but also the individual residents buy fewer of the bags that they have to purchase at the grocery store to put their trash into. If they would just think of removing all their 1 through 8 plastics, their glass, their metals, all their paper products, it doesn't leave a whole lot left to go into the trash stream.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Suzanne, you painted a picture of a residential street where most of the people are out recycling, and you've got that one person that lives there, and you know every day they just put out their garbage bags. Mm-hmm. Let's talk to that person right now, just because, you know, folks like yourselves, you're experts at recycling. I said that earlier, and I'll say that because you mentioned 1 through 8 plastics. Well, I wouldn't be able to tell you the difference between a number 2 plastic and a number 6 plastic, you know, and or 007 plastic. So what can be recycled, and what effort does, you know, an individual person living in a home have to go through in order to separate? Because you hear a lot of things from naysayers. It's like, oh yeah, you can recycle your pizza boxes, but you got to make sure you scrape every last piece of cheese off that pizza box, otherwise you're not doing it right. So, but to that person that would be the last person to recycle, because they don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess it could be that they don't care, but let's not worry about them. Let's worry about the ones that do care but really don't know.
Okay.
How do they recycle?
I would say, first, know the big no-nos. The first no-no is any grease or oil saturated material. So if you're cleaning your car and you have cardboard underneath it and you're draining the oil, that cannot be recycled. Food in cardboard is a problem. So that's why a lot of people say no pizza boxes. It's not really the box, it's that it's got food in it and grease is bad for recycling. So oil and grease is the first no-no. The second no-no is plastic bags. And unfortunately, we've got some confusion about that. Plastic bags are very recyclable when you separate them. So you can take your Walmart or Shopko or bags, those kind of thin plastic ones for the grocery stores, and take them to Walmart or Shopko or any place where they have those bins. That's great. Do that. They will be hauled away and recycled.
Yeah. Goodwill likes to use, if they're clean, they like those bags too, because it saves them a cost of having to buy bags.
Exactly.
What happens in the recycling, the single stream recycling program that we have, all of these recyclables are put together. They show up at the sorting factory, and the factory has these big fingers that go through the recyclables. So there's plastic bags. Those bags gum up the machinery, and they have to stop the whole production line a couple of times a day just to cut that stuff out of the product. So it just stops the whole process. And that's the confusion, is that a lot of things are recyclable, but in the single stream recycling program that we have, plastic bags are one of those things we're trying to keep out of the waste stream here.
Out of the recycling stream.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that would go as well for how you put your recyclables out at the curb. They can be in any kind of bin, but not a plastic bag, for the same reason.
Okay,
so you
that's
can
been
have
one
them.
Of the confusing points, because you know, there's been some have said that you can put it in a clear plastic bag as long as Waste Management can see what's inside. So no bag at all is what
right.
We want.
That's what
now,
we
is
prefer.
Is that a preference or is that a rule?
What happens, Hancock used to, or they've had a recycling program for many years, as you stated earlier, and the residents there used to put their stuff into clear plastic bags. But when this factory came up in Wisconsin online and was built, they requested that Hancock discontinue that program of putting them in plastic bags, because it adds not only to gumming up the machinery, it adds to the labor involved. Somebody at the other end has to tear open every one of those bags and empty them. And so we're just trying to have a smooth program that makes it profitable for not only Waste Management, but also Eagle Waste that receives
the
stuff and sends it on to manufacturers. Mm-hmm. Because if it's not successful for everybody in the stream, then it won't work.
Mm-hmm. Right. So even if Waste Management will pick it up in a clear plastic bag, you're recommending don't use them, just use a bin.
Bin, exactly. And so it could be a cardboard box. It could be a plastic bin. It doesn't have to say recycle on it,
And it doesn't have to be the city-provided ones that they have bought. Those are great if you can get one for $10, but that's sort of an extra convenience. It will certainly help you, but it's not necessary. It's don't not recycle because you don't have a bin from the City of Houghton that says Waste Management on it or something, whatever it says.
Yes.
Recycle anyways using whatever you can use.
The bins thank you for mentioning that, because the city was we're grateful to the city that they bought 250 bins. Those quickly went, and they kept a waiting list.
And they bought
250 more. And I would encourage everybody in the city of Houghton to call City Hall and get on a waiting list for possibly the next 250. Because the more bins we have out there, it has a presence on the street. When you walk down or drive down the street and you see all these bins that say recycle, that encourages that person who's not doing it. You know, they might get interested, like, what is that over there?
Mm-hmm.
And why are all these bins light up that say Houghton Recycling on them or something?
Okay. Carrying it on the materials, glass, plastics,
magazines, newspapers are fine. no gift wrap or packing peanuts or styrofoam. Those are the other
styrofoam.
Styrofoam. Styrofoam is evil.
Oh, no. take that stuff back to the packing companies. They'll take it back, the shipping companies.
Now, are there any kind of glasses or plastics that are not accepted besides the packaging?
Like a window glass. That will actually
window glass is bad.
Yeah. It's a different kind of glass, and so it will contaminate the rest of the glass.
So I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Window glass oftentimes has lead in it to make it durable and be able to, be strong. The other thing would be ceramics, your plates at home and stuff. Those are essentially trash. But when we talk about glass, you're talking about containers of any kind, any color. It would be good if people rinse them out. They don't have to be sterile or anything like that, but just try to take out the food waste. It just helps everything down the road. The plastics, when I said 1 through 8, most plastics are stamped at the bottom with the universal recycling sign. They have been for many, many years, and they have a number there. You know, your clear plastics, your water bottle, those are like 1s and 2s, but the 8s are more like rigid plastics, like some of what this microphone might be made out of. But the 1 through 8s cover about all the plastics in your life, and those are recyclable. They make anything from curb, parking lot bumpers to railroad ties out of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, it really doesn't sound all that complicated.
It's not.
When you're talking about, I can think of the things that I throw away that are glass jars, whether they're pickle jars, the old ketchup bottle, which is usually plastic, cans of soup, because I assume those aluminum cans are recyclable. What about like a milk jug?
Very good. Milk jugs are wonderful recyclable material. Mm-hmm. They're highly sought after.
Mm-hmm. What about things like electronics, remote controls, old phones, computers?
No, those things should not go on your waste stream, and they can't be recycled in this recycling program we have. Yet we have compiled a list of where people can take such things as electronics locally, your light bulbs, your electronics, your batteries, all these things. And this list is available on the City of Houghton website, and it lists businesses here in the local area that take these things.
Even things like asphalt shingles can be recycled. So do check out that list. It's pretty amazing, like where to put your cell phones and your eyeglasses and electronics and other batteries, books, jars, antifreeze, all of that.
What happens in the landfill situation is the landfill is contaminated by organic materials primarily. And then you have these electronic things. People snuck in their old laptop or something into the trash. Well, over the years, when this is buried, it forms this, when it rains on it, and it forms this muck called leachate. This filters down through the landfill and ultimately produces greenhouse gases in a few decades from now, which become a really difficult thing to mitigate and expensive. And it'll be the local residents who end up paying these costs. Or our children, actually, who will pay these costs. So that's why we're trying to remove all those paper products that break down into gas. Mm-hmm.
I know that if you live in Houghton, your pickup days are Tuesdays and Thursdays. They ask that even if you're used to the truck not arriving until later in the day, put out your stuff by 7 a.m. because the routes have changed, and they may continue to change somewhat as they learn the most efficient way of picking things up. So if you used to run home at lunchtime and put out your garbage and your recycle, or if that's your plan to put out your recyclables, you need to do them by 7 a.m. That's what they ask. Hancock days are which ones?
I don't know. The last I heard, they hadn't announced yet. It's currently still the last Thursday of the month.
Okay. They will post on the Hancock website, no problem with that. For those not living in the cities of Houghton and Hancock, I know a lot of people are saying, well, we don't want to be left out. We live in South Range or we live in Calumet. What should they do?
encourage your township supervisor to get a satellite drop-off center. That's what we really want to push next, is that some of the areas like South Range, different Lorium, it may or may not make sense to have a curbside program, but we definitely want to have little satellite drop-off areas where we can recycle. And that's really the next step for getting county commissioners and township supervisors all involved to get recycling going at a much bigger level. Otherwise, you can take it to waste management and pay the $4 fee.
Sounds like you still have work to do as far as getting people on board and spreading the word. I appreciate the work that you're doing and also for coming on the program.
Thanks very much for having us.
Yeah.
Copper Country Today will be right back.